Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, I'm going to try something that's probably not even allowable on the radio, which is long-form entertainment. And just doesn't work well. Radio's designed for little short quips of ideas, and then you go to break and you do another little short quip and people come on and leave and come on and leave. But I'm not going to do that today. Today I'm going to answer some really long and really hard questions. Why? Well, because they're piling up on me. And the bottom line is, these are the types of questions that people don't want to give you because they don't fit into a nice little neat box. I think that this is something that people need. I was watching the Democratic convention, and I listened to all these speeches, and every single one of them was like this nice little clean package in a box about how we're all going to feel better. The people that we're electing are good people. They're going to help us. They care about us, and on and on and on. But nothing that has anything to do with any substance at all. They're not telling you what they're going to do or how they're going to do it or anything. They're just telling you, you're going to like what we're doing, and we're going to like you, and you're going to like us. We're going to take good care of you, and blah, 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 blah. Well, that's kind of the way I feel about the ideas that we teach here. They don't fit in that little box. We have little sound bites, little box sound bites, but these ideas don't fit in those boxes very well, these big ones. And so I'm going to try. See if I can get some of these big ones across today, see if it works. So I'm going to start on this first one here and see if we can get it in at least. It says, although my situation has changed since I reached out to you, I am more motivated to make investments in real estate than ever. Here is why. I was invited to buy a few people to meet by Pearl Harbor here in Hawaii. When I arrived, I had my wife, two children, and my cousin, new members. And I were immediately welcomed by Chris, which is one of our team here. And in Pearl Harbor, they have this nice little picnic area that we frequent right next to Pearl Harbor. Everyone was taking turns speaking about their situation, explaining that their lifestyle is not a scam, their position on active deals and goals. When my turn came up, I explained that I was new to the program and only on the learner package. After everyone talked, Rob encouraged everyone to network and get to know each other. And then my mind was truly blown. I have never had people walk up to me and tell me their financial situation like that. The way I grew up, no one talks about money. Even people who know had money would never open up and say that they had anything. And always act as if they're broke. I mean, this is very common, folks. This is why it's so difficult to learn anything about money, about how to get it, how to obtain it, how to keep it, is because even people wouldn't even tell their kids in many cases. They don't share their financial situation, where lifestyles we do. So this was important to him, and he was blown away. And by the way, so are a lot of other people. Very common response. In my last correspondence with you, I was dealing with my wife in a cult and concerned about investing out of state at the meeting. I met people from Hawaii who were in the same or similar position as me, minus the cult, and overcame the same fear. So what he's saying is he was afraid to invest with other people, not in Hawaii, because real estate's very expensive there, so most of the people, and we have hundreds of members in Hawaii for some reason, I don't know why, but they invest back in the States in different locations. He was afraid to do that because his wife was in a cult, so he had this perception that anything that was a group of people that were trying to accomplish something and sharing their ideas was a cult. And I could understand that. I mean, if your wife was wrapped up in a cult, you'd be a little edgy also. He goes on and says, when I spoke at the meeting, I explained that I was most nervous about squatters, and others explained that they explained what they knew and how to overcome the problem. It was truly inspiring, and for me, exactly what I needed to push me the right direction as to be honest. Anyhow, thank you for all your help, free advice, and all you do. If you ever need a question to answer on the radio, I would like to answer, what is your exit strategy? And if you just enjoy doing what you do free time, that's cool too. I understand. Okay, so I don't know if he's asking my exit strategy about how to get out of Lifestyles Unlimited as the owner. If that's the question, the exit strategy is I've already put in place the leadership necessary to run the thing. I've turned over about 90% of the active day-to-day operations, maybe a little more even. I do radio shows, and I show up for events. That's it. If I don't show up for events, the events still happen. So that's taken care of. And also, we have two other guys that do radio. So if ever I get to the point where I can't do radio anymore or don't want to do radio anymore, we have people to take that on. You just need to understand that for this, in fact, Lifestyles as if this is what the question is, the answer is that I just do it because I enjoy it. Now, if you're asking exit strategy in real estate, that's presuming that there's an end to it. And there really never is an end. My money is invested. It will stay invested to the day I die. My wife will take it over. It stay invested. My companies will go to other people that are actually willing to operate these companies. My wife won't operate these companies. So somebody else will get those. But as far as the real estate goes, that's not going anywhere. So it says the 22-unit multifamily community that we're sharing was purchased in February of 2021 for $2,370,000 and sold in April of 24, so that's 3 years later, for $3,400,000. The distributions were $1,683,000 in 3 years and securing us a 204% return. So that's pretty confusing. Let me try to throw some additional numbers in there so you can see this. The property was purchased for $2.37 million. That's what it cost. But you don't put that much money down. The down payment was probably around $800,000 from what I could see from these numbers here that was put down. Was it all one person? This one says it was an IRO deal. So when we get into some questions here later, IRO, by the way, stands for Independent Real Estate Owners. One person put the $800,000 down. Bought the property, and then it says we had distributions of $1,683,000. Well, I looked that up, and I figured out that $1,030,000 of it is the capital gains. So they made $1,030,000 by selling it for a higher price. So where did the other $600,000 come from? Well, that's distributions. That's installments that you made money, you know, over this three-year period of time. So 3 years is 36 months. Let me do a little math here. What that comes out to, additional 600,000, three divided by 36 months. That means you're averaging about $16,000-$17,000 a month in cash flow. So as we go through some of these other questions, people are saying, okay, how do I get retired? How do I take a large chunk of money? Because yeah, the smaller chunks of money are easy. Pull a little bit out, you buy a little rent house, you do that a couple times and, you know, wash, rinse, and repeat. Or you decide to go ahead and change, go, okay, now I've done a couple houses, I feel a little more comfortable. Let's try a fourplex. Let's do some fourplexes. Or maybe you try a small apartment, like a little 10-unit or so. And by the way, this apartment that we're talking about is a 22-unit apartment complex. So he goes on and says that he's just sold this one. He's now going to take his kids on a giant vacation around the world, his whole family. Then he's going to come back and buy another one and do it again. So if you can make $1,683,000 on a deal in 3 years, right, you can do pretty good. Now, he'll probably do a larger one. He's got all this extra money now. Let's see, if you got $1,683,000 in gain divided by 3 years, that's $500,000 a year, guys. $561,000 a year. You can retire on that. That's a workable number for even somebody that's got a pretty high standard of living. But in this case, this person had to buy an asset and go out there and operate. This was not a passive investment. Now, if you were passive, I ask this question all the time, if you were to meet this person and they were going to go do another deal, and they showed you what they did, they said, I'm going to go do another one just like this. Find one that fits the same kind of setup and so forth. And what I want to do is, the next one I'm going to do is maybe 40 units, and I can only afford to buy 20 units at a time by myself, but we'll do 40 or 50 or 60. 60 is a good number because you now have a full-time manager and maintenance man. So instead of me, which I put down the 800 grand, we're going to need 1.6 million for this larger one, or 2 million, and so I'm going to have people, I'm going to allow people that want to get into this deal with me to invest with me. So if it's just one or two people, we'll call it a partnership and we'll put together some kind of a deal, just friends and family. Or if it's where I'm opening up the investment to others that are not just friends or family, then we're going to go with the syndication. We have to follow the syndication rules and so on and so forth. But we'll make the deal available to everybody. So now what happens is this. Let's say, for instance, that we're going to make this $1.6 million, or really it's 200% return. Well, if I'm going to be a syndicator and do all the work, I should get more money, a higher percentage return than those that are doing nothing. So what I will do is I will take, say, for instance, a 20% override on the deal. So if we make and I'm just going to do some numbers for you. Let's say we put down twice the money, $1.6 million, okay? And I have $800,000 in the deal as the lead investor or the syndicator. What happens is, and you've got other people have $800,000 in it as the passives in the deal, and we make, you know, double the 1.6, we make $300,000, so we make 200% return. Well, of the $300,000 we make, let's see, it'd be $3,200,000. I would get the first 20% of the return. So 20% of the $3,200,000, and I have to have a calculator to do that just off the top of my head. If you're following along, like I said, it's not the way you're supposed to do this stuff. Okay, times 20% means I get the first $640,000. So if you take the 640 away from the $3,200,000 total profit, you're going to end up with $2,560,000. That's the profit left over for the passives. And the passives have another $800,000 in the deal, right? So we take $2,560,000 and divide it by 800,000, and they've made looks like we'll have to do some math when we get back. We'll take a short break, and we'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
To creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Walmsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Lifestyles Unlimited, the education and mentoring group with a roadmap and support to help you real estate retire.
Having the consulting team, having other avenues within your whole system is what's made y'all successful. Everyone is there to guide you to be successful. So it's just up to you to get off the butt and do it.
Do it. Take action today. Get educated now at Lifestyles Unlimited. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for $297, a 60% savings. Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007.
You're hearing the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today what I'm trying to do is cover very complicated questions that really shouldn't be done on the radio, but hey, give it a shot. I've been doing this for years. Sometimes you just got to take a swing, see if you can hit it. Lynn, when we went to break, I was doing some math on a deal, and we were creating an example where there was a lead investor and passive investors in the deal. And so we took a deal where there was $3.2 million profit on a $1.6 million investment, which is a 200% return, which is exactly like the deal that the guy explained earlier that he had just done. And now he's going to do a larger deal, and he was going to let past investors come in. And so we took an example that if he were to take a 20% override on the deal, he would have made the first $640,000 of the $3,200,000 in profit. that set aside would leave only $2,560,000 left for the rest of the group, for the whole group, the whole deal. And that $2,560,000 divided by the $1,600,000 total invested dollars, the dollars invested in the deal then earn 160% return. Now, the deal in totality earned 200% return. And by the way, the example deal that we read this from was a three-year period of time. So it earned a 200% rate of return. But if there was a lead in there taking 20% off the top, then the return to the rest of the deal would only be 160% return. Now, you got to ask yourself, and this is really, it's a rhetorical question. Would you get into a deal for 160% return? And the answer is obviously yes, everybody would, right? So having said that, we'll move on to the next very complicated question. This one says, good morning. Thank you for your mentorship through Lifestyles Unlimited. I said this so many times. Without Lifestyles, my financial journey would be hopeless. I purchased a small multifamily last year and spent some money on refurbishing it. Now my 2023 rental expense exceeds my rental income. I will purchase another rental property this year. So in order to get the FHA / conventional financing, I was wondering if I should push back those losses on my tax return for another year. Looking forward, hearing from you. Thank you for all you do. All right, this is about as confusing of a question as anybody could run into, because there's something wrong with this whole story. And I intend on covering three different issues with the story. First of all, when you buy a property and you renovate it, the renovation costs are not expenses. People that don't understand accounting think that they are expenses. Also, they are expenses just as soon as you pay them. Or if they're not expenses, they are capitalized into the value of the property. So this gentleman thinking, and I assume it's a gentleman, thinking that you can just put those expenses wherever you want, that cost of that renovation, you put it wherever you want, is totally mistaken. And I'm assuming that's why he's got this massive loss. He's thinking that he can push around. In other words, I take this cost of this renovation, I can stick it on this year's tax return, or I can just not claim that I had spent this money until next year, and then claim it on next year's tax return. But in either case, is it claimed? And that's why he's got negative cash flow, or at least that's what I think is going on here. It goes on. I go on, though, and make the point that, okay, another reason he might have negative cash flow is because of depreciation. And he's thinking that if he shows the depreciation of the property, that will take him into a negative cash flow situation, but it's not real cash flow. Depreciation is a paper expense. It's not real. You just write it down there and the government lets you write it off. So there, he thinks that that's going to keep him from being able to get a loan. And if you go to just a normal bank or a normal mortgage company that doesn't do investment properties, they don't understand that depreciation is not a real expense and they may not give you the loan. So you have to go to an investment banker that understands what we do. And I have Lifestyles Finance. I started with a partner and they run it, but they specialize in this kind of stuff. So there are many other places besides my finance company, but there are many places that are investment grade bankers. They understand that that depreciation is not an expense. And then the last part is, what if that wasn't the case in either case? What if it just has negative cash flow? My question is, why would you buy a property that has negative cash flow? That doesn't make any sense. I really don't get it. And if you did, why would you be buying another one? So that just doesn't seem to make any sense there. It's that there's literally negative cash flow. Why would he go on and buy another property if there was? I don't really believe there is. I believe that just the way he's stating this and his beliefs about financing just are not complete. He just doesn't understand how all this works. So let me see if there's a name here. I don't see a name here right away. If this sounds like you, you need to contact me. I don't even see the, oh, yeah, there it is. It looks like it's Stedman, it looks like. So Stedman, if this is you and you need to follow up on this, and give me more information so I can help you with this, because this just doesn't make any sense the way it's sitting there. And again, like I said, this is very difficult to answer these really crazy questions, really difficult questions like this. Let's go on to the next one. I did it. I'm now an investor. A little bit about me. My name is Frank. I won't tell his last name. I have flipped houses for about 10 plus years. I'm older now, and I don't want to work as hard anymore. Just work smarter. Now that I see how much I was doing insufficiently in real estate, I decided to become a preferred member so I can learn how to invest smarter. I can see I have a lot to learn. My interest is in independent rental owner, IRO, in multifamily. I like the fact that hard money will make the job easier to finance the job so I can hire the jobs out and not do as much myself. I do like to do some work. I'm far from jumping into a deal right now, as I want to know what I'm doing first. I drove down to your last seminar and you presented a few months ago, and we sat at a table, and then he goes on about what we discussed and so on and so forth, which is irrelevant. All right, what we have here is we have a very complicated situation where this gentleman likes to do renovations. And this is a personality issue, not an investment issue. So he's learned that with houses, he can use hard money to get them to put up the money to buy the property and to renovate the property, so he can hire somebody to do the renovations and not do it himself. Yet at the same token, he's saying in right in the same breath that he wants to do some of the work himself. This just doesn't make any sense. You need to get a contractor in there, get the work done as quickly as possible, within 1 week to 4 weeks, whatever it takes to do the renovation, depending on how deep the renovation is. And then you need, from that point, to get out of that hard money loan and get into a regular loan, get the property leased up and move on down the road, right? However, he's talking about here that he's doing a commercial deal, and he's trying to use the same theories of flipping houses to do commercial deals, and they don't work the same way. It's much more complicated, and I'm afraid what he's going to do is he's going to get himself into something that is going to be a problem for him. He states, I'm rehabbing a three-story building right now into four apartments with retail space on the first floor. After that is finished, I believe I'll add another $750,000 or better to my equity. The building is paid off though, and I will take a loan out to finish it. I was paying all cash to fix it up. He makes good money in these deals he's doing, but he reminds me of David Fisher in that he buys these smaller projects, pays cash for them, and then renovates them, and then refinances, pulls the money out, and either operates them or sells them. I don't know which is his model. But as long as that's your model, you're going to be working. And he's saying right up front, he says, I don't want to work anymore. So I don't get it. You know, it's the plan doesn't make sense. He said, you know, does this plan make sense? The answer is no, the plan doesn't make sense. It doesn't get you to where you don't work anymore. Because as soon as you start a new construction, new renovation, you're busy again. And you've got to be involved when you're building something. You can't just let it sit there by itself and do it. Now, I do some commercial real estate, too, in addition to my apartment complexes. And one of the things, the way I do it is I buy them after they've completely built them. I buy them brand new. Somebody builds them, I buy them, and then I lease them out. That way I do no construction, and then I put a triple net lease tenant in there, which pays for everything. So I don't have to pay for the taxes, the insurance, the maintenance, repair. It's triple net, 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 net. The tenant pays everything. So that really is a retirement plan. I don't have to work to do that. Now, that's not as high a rate of return as I'd get if I were the one building the thing, or as high a rate of return I'd get if I were, you know, owning an apartment complex. It's just another place to put my money. I don't have to work, right? All right, let's move on. Next one says, I'm curious if there is anyone with experience on exiting a sizable 401k, $1.8 million, gracefully. I'm having conversations with my CPA, but would love to hear if someone else has done this and how they have navigated this scenario. Is there a particularly recommended way to leverage the IRO purchase to offset the large withdrawal and limit tax exposure as much as possible. I'm currently a high-income W-2 earner and turn 55 later this year. And I'm considering leveraging the 401k rule of 55 to gain access to the 401k. So I guess at age 55, there's a way you can take the money out at 55. However, I don't know if you pay penalty on that. I'm assuming you don't pay penalty on this rule of 55 because usually you pay penalty up to age 59. But I've heard people take it out of the rule of 55 before. And I'm sorry that I don't know what that is, but I've never had any money to take out. I took all my money out right when I was 30 years old and went and bought real estate with it. So didn't have this problem myself. And I've never run into people that are doing the rule of 55 that didn't already have it figured out. So I'm sorry that I don't have that answer. It says, how do you get access later this year? And I'm considering leveraging the 401k rule of 55 to access the 401k penalty free. So it is penalty free, leaving my current strategy to replace my W-2 while offsetting the withdrawal with the tax advantage depreciation. All right. So what he's saying is it possible to go out and buy a large apartment complex, leveraged up by a large apartment complex with the money you pull out of the 401k? And the answer is absolutely. But the depreciation, you're going to have to do something called accelerated depreciation. And that is cost segregation is the actual term for it. But even then, you're probably not going to get out of paying taxes on some portion of that money you're pulling out of there because it's just not enough. It's enough that you won't pay any taxes on the income you make from the property. And if you're actually doing it yourself, you're an IRO, then you are a real estate professional. It's going to give you some deductions off that 401k. But you haven't gotten invested large enough yet to get all those deductions back. If you keep investing, you can go back and you can file backwards and take more deductions if you want to. You can file forward and take more of the deductions and the losses forward. There's all different ways you get with your CPA and figure this stuff out. But it's probably not going to be that you get out of this. But before I just drop you there and leave you right there, I want you to think of something else. I want you to realize that what the 401k is money you've never been given. You think you own your 401k. You think it's your money. But really what it is, it's an account that your company has put the money into and you've put the money into where you didn't get it. You earned it. And your company might have matched some. So that's, again, that's deferred compensation. They're paying you compensation, but in a different manner, in deferred manner. So you've earned this money, but you've never got it. And because you never got it is why you never got taxed on it. So if you think about this logically and break that money down and think about it as, okay, you got $1.8 million. Let's say you've been there 10 years. That's whatever one-tenth of $1.8 million is, $180,000 a year. You could have said to your boss over 10 years, give me the $180,000. And if you did, you would have paid taxes on the $180,000. But you didn't. You let it sit in this account. And now you want it. So what you're asking your boss to do is, you know, boss, all that money you've never paid me for the last 10 years, the $1.8 million you should have paid me, I want it now. And if you want it, you owe taxes on it. Now, what tax bracket are you in? Remember, tax brackets are variable. So if you quit your job and take it that year and you have no more earned income to match up against it, then you have more depreciation to write off against it. But, and you're in a lower tax bracket. But if you are still working and you take it and this money bumps you up to even higher tax bracket, you're going to be paying a lot of taxes. You say, well, why would I do that? Well, you're going to have to do it sometime, somewhere along the way, unless you just take it out in small increments, which you can't do on the rule of 55. You're going to need to take the whole thing, I believe, to get it out that way, to use that rule. So what do? Make a decision. Do you want to get rich and make the 200% return we talked about earlier? Or you want to stay in the 401k for the rest of your life and never get out? And then late in your life have to pay all the taxes. Simple question, simple answer, but you have to make it. All right, remember this, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
thank you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.